I bring to you grace and mercy, peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today's message from the Gospel of John, particularly this verse, Jesus reflecting as the hour of his death draws near. He says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" He thinks to himself, remembers, "But this is the very reason I came." And so he concludes his prayer in that moment. "Father, bring glory to your name." This is our text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace to get a glimpse of your glory. And that as we witness the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus, to realize that when he came to do your will by saving our lives for eternity. As Lent draws to a soon close, and the sunrise of Easter draws ever nearer, fill our hearts, O God, with the knowledge that you teach us how to pray, how to live, how to love, how to confess the name of Jesus in this world. And through that confession, to know peace that passes all understanding. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I started taking Spanish my first year of high school. And what I enjoyed most about learning a foreign language was the different ways a foreign language will structure words and phrases in order to convey what we have become accustomed to in English to say in a much different way. Whenever you and I have a conversation with each other, and whenever we ask one another for prayer, whenever we use the word pray or prayer, there is an explosion in our minds of spiritual significance, because prayer and praying is a deeply spiritual word. But early on, when I was learning Spanish in high school, I was intrigued by the way in which, at least in one way, the Spanish language expresses prayer. The phrase that they use is poner las rodillas, which means put your knees on the ground. So when you go up, or when you ask someone to pray, or when you are instructed to pray, you are told not to pray. Something far more earthy is requested of you. Put your knees on the ground. Other ways in which other languages might put prayer is to beg or plead or cry out. There's a lot of different ways in which to express the communication, the conversation that we want from God. And yet, in our English language, we use this phrase, this word prayer. And when we use that word, sometimes I think to myself, we're losing sight and maybe making too much of what prayer is all about. We know prayer is communication with God. We know it's talking with God. It's conversing with God. It's all those things. And yet prayer immediately elicits from us a measure of gravity, a measure of burdensomeness on praying. I'm going to pray to the Most High God. Today I want to spend some time talking about the how-tos of prayer. I want to look into the prayer that Jesus prayed in John, but most of all, what I want to make sure that we come away with today is this: an understanding of what prayer is and is not. And that through the lens of what Jesus talked about with his Heavenly Father. It strikes me after this particular week in which I've been privileged as a pastor to pray with a number of folks who have been greeted by a number of circumstances, some related to their health, some related to just their life and the general living of life, some related to problems that they're having with friends or co-workers. I've been privileged to have a lot of ponering my rodillas over a phone in person with a number of folks, and here's what I've come to realize. I've come to realize that at the heart of every prayer is confusion. In fact, I was thinking to myself, when have I ever prayed when there has not been in me, in someone else, a measure of confusion regarding what the future would hold, and therefore for which we now pray? Confusion is at the heart of every time we pray. We're trying to discern, why is God doing what he's doing in my life? Or, a little bit more safely, why is God allowing what he is doing in my life? What am I to do in the days ahead in order to respond to this circumstance which has arisen? Prayer is always necessitated by some measure of confusion. Jesus, in our text today, was a bit confused. In some mysterious way, Jesus, the Son of God, was trying to figure out what he was trying to figure out every time he stepped away from the crowds, the throngs of people, and he went to that quiet place in which to pray. He stepped away and he tried to reconcile who he was with what God was asking him to do in the days ahead. Jesus, in his humiliation, in his suffering, exhibited a measure of confusion before God. And he gives us two kinds of prayer. In the face of that confusion, he gives us the kind of prayer which you and I oftentimes will offer to God. Lord, extract me from the confusion. Father, save me from this hour, Jesus says, because his soul is deeply troubled. But within a breath, the span of an inhale, exhale, Jesus changes his tune. And he says, the most profoundly risk-filled prayer you can offer to God, the kind of prayer that truly puts completely into God's hands the safety and security of our lives. And that is the invitation to God to glorify his name through my circumstance, through your experiences and circumstances in life. Jesus turns to God and says, Father, bring glory to your name. If there is one how-to hope that I could have for you as we wind down the Lenten season, if there is one hope that I have for you in order to express true repentance toward God, that is, to recognize he is good and I depend completely on him, that I live with sin and therefore what I believe and know about him is always corrupted by the sin and evil that lives in me. If there's one hope that I could have for you as you live in the intersection of your humanity with his divinity, it is that you would learn to pray this prayer from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed at night. Father, bring glory to your name. Now you may say to me, well, Pastor Seidler, it seems like God is being rather self-serving here. God is more concerned about the glory that is due his name than he's concerned about my welfare and well-being. Answer, you're exactly right. God is completely self-serving. Totally, completely self-absorbed with the glory that is due his name. But here's the truth. Is there any self in the history of the world? Is there any self in the expanse of what is real and true? Is there any self that is a higher good, that is more worthy of being served, that is more worthy of receiving glory and honor? And the answer is no, there's not. God at his very heart is good. And I want a piece of that goodness. God at his very heart is filled with love. So much love that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved, his heart was so filled with love that his son was offered as a sacrifice. And if this prayer, Father, bring glory to your name, is self-serving, then I want to be a part of that equation. I want to be a payer on that transaction. Because God is good. And when I pray, God, may through my life and the circumstances that have rocked my world this week, may through those circumstances in my life, may everything I do and everything that comes of me, whether in life or in death, if everything may be for your glory, then I know I am completely in the grip of grace. And therefore, I will fear no evil. Therefore, I will stand on the rock, a rock which cannot be moved. Therefore, I will know with absolute certainty that heaven is my home, and these earthly places that I have my mail sent to, these earthly places will pass away, and I will be brought to a mansion that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for me. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the riskiest prayer in the midst of confusion to pray, Father, bring glory to your name, but it is the prayer which Jesus rests himself upon as he looks forward to the death of his cross. And we can pray this prayer every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. Yeah, maybe more. My brothers and sisters, in the midst of praying, confusion is the powerful circumstance that gives rise to our prayer. But the most powerful, desirable outcome of our prayer is a confession that God's glory is the desired greater to which I am aiming my life and aiming every prayer that I lift to God. Jesus Christ came into this world to reconcile us from sin, the greatest sin of which is to bring glory upon ourselves or to manufacture what our future, we believe, ought to look like without first thinking, God, how can this bring glory to your good name so that whatever my future circumstances may be, I know that you are already meeting me there to sustain me through them. Jesus Christ came to redeem us from our self-centeredness and to give us absolute clarity of how great and awesome and privileged we are to put ourselves, subordinate ourselves, submit ourselves to God. And not just any God, but the name of Jesus, to which every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of his Father. There is certainly a how-to to this sermon, but the how-to of this sermon gives rise to the deep confession by which we live and trust toward God and his Son Jesus.